Titans quarterback Cam Ward has passed his first test of training camp, and so has rookie receiver Carnell Tate, who continues to make plays. We're discussing the Titans quarterback, the Titans receiver situation and rotation, and the growth this team has shown today on the Music City Audible with special guest Easton Freeze. So let's get to it. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Music City Audible, a Tennessee Titans podcast. I'm your host, Justin Graver, full-time NFL podcast producer for Odyssey, and joining me today, replacing the great Justin Mello for the day, it's Easton Freeze, Titans reporter for A to Z Sports Nashville, host of the A to Z Morning Show, Titans Game Day Show, out there on the beat, at practice, sweating, putting in the grind for us every day out at practice to get us those tantalizing training camp reports that we can't get enough of. Easton, thank you for joining me today. How you doing?
I'm great. I'm happy to be here. It's the rare 100% full-blown USDA American episode of Music City Audible. You don't get that very often. There's usually a little bit of Canadian element to this that we're not going to have today. So, you know, wave those flags right today, fellas.
Put the maple syrup away. No maple syrup today. No soccer talk. We're focused on the Titans from an American standpoint for one of the rare times, as you said.
Let's talk about our sport.
Yeah, let's go. We don't have to say American football. It's just football.
It's our sport, man. Yeah, exactly.
Easton, I wanted to talk to you about, since you've been out there every single day, like I said, putting in the sweat, blood, tears, sacrificing time for us, standing in the heat, getting beat down by the sun. Wanted to talk to you about what you've seen out there at training camp. from like a broad standpoint here, as we take the Titans traveled yesterday to Santa Clara. Today, they'll hit the field against the Niners for joint practices. You're obviously not out there in Santa Clara today, but you'll be covering the joint practices with the Seahawks and the Bears, and you'll be at those preseason games in Nashville. Titans did us a solid there, I think, keeping two games in Nashville this preseason, but makes up for only having 8 home games throughout the year, I guess. But Easton, first of all, I think I want to talk about broad things, but most recently, it feels like Cam Ward and Carnell Tate have started to really click. Their connection is heating up. I remember early in OTAs talking about how Tate was destroying Micah Robinson. Poor Micah Robinson having to go up against Carnell Tate. But then it was like, is he really doing the same? Is he putting on the same kind of show when he's up against Alante Taylor and Cordell Flott? And if not, like, how's he going to handle Derek Stingley or some of those top corners that he's going to face twice a year, Sauce Gardner, those types of guys. But more recently, it hasn't mattered who's lined up across from Carnell Tate. He's taken it to everybody. Is that something that is just like a coincidence that they happen to have a couple good days late? Or have you really seen it really grow throughout training camp?
You know, as we're recording this, I'm in the middle of a back and forth text conversation with a coach that has nothing to do with the Titans, somebody I know around the league. And we're just kind of catching up, trading notes on Titans things and their team's things. And they were asking about like what seems apparent based on camp so far. And I told him, I came into this offseason knowing kind of just two things for sure, that Jeffrey Simmons and Peter Skoronski are really good football players. And the rest, I don't know. I now feel like I know three things. It's that Jeffrey Simmons and Peter Skoronski and Carnell Tate are really good football players, which is really hasty on a guy we've not seen play at all. I have no idea if it's going to translate. But so far, I have never come close to being this impressed with a rookie in a training camp in the 5 years that I've done this. Granted, not that long of a time, but we were talking about this in the room yesterday where I was with people that have covered this team and all kinds of other teams for as long as I've been alive, kind of posing that same question. And they felt the same way. We've had people that are national folks kind of roll through town on their, you know, their national training camp tour. And so they've been to Arizona, they've been to Dallas, they've been wherever else. And they kind of have the same feeling. We keep getting this question of, you know, is this just an abnormally good day for Carnell? Or is this kind of what the deal has been so far? And it's like, this is kind of what the deal has been so far. And yesterday was his best day for sure. He had 3 touchdowns halfway into practice. I tweeted it with that video of Alex Jones where he's like, I've been plugged into the third heaven. I've been jacked into the big plan. Like, that's what it feels like watching this guy. You see the vision. You see the future of the Tennessee Titans in him. And, you know, it is still all has to come together. I don't want to, like, get so over my skis that I'm already deeming him the best receiver in Titans history or anything by those standards. But he is doing genuinely everything you could possibly ask of him so far. And a big part of that has to do with Cam Ward, who yesterday was absolutely on the same page with him. Those two look the part. And something that I'm kind of toying with right now is, because we've talked about this receiver room a lot in a positive light, because they do have a depth situation that feels better than they've had in a very long time. Now, the intellectual honesty of that is that, like, we have done versions of this before and then it falls apart. So you still have to see it. But to have these guys at 4, 5, and 6 that we have seen have to play the 1, 2, and 3 roles in recent years with players ahead of them that are that much better to push them down the roster, it's understandable to be excited about that. And I'm not saying that if they lose their top receivers, it's going to be a disaster. I think actually it wouldn't be because of how nice their depth is. But I do think the combination of Wandale and Carnell as a real Batman and Robin 1-2 punch, like, they complement each other so well. And as a unit, they unlock pretty much every part of the field and every different kind of situation. They cover the gamut. If you are missing either of them for any amount of time this season, I don't think it's a disaster for the Titans passing game, but I do think it substantively changes their approach in a way that will look and feel different. And that's not to, like, cast doom on the situation at all. And as you can tell, I'm still kind of wrestling with this in my mind, but it just feels that much different when it's those two on the field.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what Titans fans are feeling. And, you know, as a fan base, I think people tend to get hyperbolic and they immediately forget this, you know, it hasn't been very many, but there's been some good players that have run through here. Notably, AJ Brown is the obvious best receiver that we've ever seen in Nashville since the Titans moved from Houston. But Carnell Tate has a real chance. I mean, obviously, most draft capital invested in a player at that position. Corey Davis was the other guy, and, you know, Corey Davis, you know, didn't quite live up to that, but or even really come close to it. But Carnell Tate has a chance to, and you said something on the show recapping Sunday's practice for A to Z Sports that he's, like, the smoothest mover you've ever seen in a Titans practice. And obviously, you know, you threw that caveat of, like, I don't know, that doesn't mean he's the best receiver or the smoothest receiver on an actual NFL field in a game. But in a practice, I mean, he's everything that has been advertised so far.
It's just so funny to look back on the whole draft cycle and question our own perception of guys, because, and it's not like we didn't see this and talk about it at the time. I think everybody with any perspective on the draft cycle felt the same way. Even if you weren't a huge Tate guy, you knew that he was one of those classic examples of a guy suffering from too well-roundeditis, right? Like, he didn't, we are such a superlative driven species that when it comes to draft prospects, we love to subconsciously hang our hat on a guy who does something the best in the class or the best at their position or arguably the best we've ever seen. Right. And so whether they're the biggest or the fastest or the strongest or had the most production or whatever it is, that makes it easy to justify a guy. You go, well, of course I love him. He's the biggest we've ever seen to do X, Y, and Z. With Carnell Tate, he's the anti-superlatives guy. He is not the biggest. Right. He is not the fastest. He is not the strongest. He was not the most productive his college career. He was never the wide receiver one in his college. But when you flip the question, when you go from, like, civil court to criminal court, and it's no longer the basis of evidence is now beyond a reasonable doubt, and you flip the question and you say, okay, well, what does he do poorly? And you come up with no answers, truly nothing. Then, and the closest you can get is, like, well, he's not a big yards after catch guy. He's not, like, egregiously bad. Like, he's not Tyler Lockett taking a dive every time he catches the ball to save himself. He's just not going to run dudes over. If that's the closest you can get to finding something he does poorly, then that should matter really just as much as having any one thing to hang your hat on. So I say all of that to say, yeah, I think he defines a glider, a smooth operator. And it's both in his movements and the way that he carries himself. I'm sure you guys have talked about this. It's not hard to see. He's got a little bit of that Cam Ward, never frazzled, never a moment too big for them kind of thing going on. He just has an air of confidence about him that makes you comfortable expecting big things from him in the trickiest moments. And that's something that we take for granted, right? Because not all players are able to rise to the moment like that. Not all players are able to be as consistent on the big third down at the end of the fourth quarter as they are on the first snap of the game. And that's the way that he carries himself. And that's a big part of why I'm pretty sure out of the gates, he's going to be a really talented receiver in the NFL.
You know, there's been on the yards after catch point, by the way, I think the thing that he doesn't do very well is he doesn't break tackles. He's not elusive in that way. But to say that he's not adequate at the very least right. in the yards after catch department. I mean, we saw one of the first plays of the Nissan Stadium scrimmage was him catching that pass over the middle and the linebacker sort of went for the ball and wasn't in position to make a tackle. Obviously, they're not really tackling anyway, but he was able to turn that. Like, I think Cam Ward said this. I wish I remember where he said it. It was either at a press conference or in an interview to NFL Network or with Taylor Zarzor on the Sirius XM training camp tour series. I've listened to him speak too many places, so I don't quite remember right. where he said it. But he was asked about this. Like he even said, like, I know he wasn't billed as a big yak guy, but I've seen him, like, when he gets space, he can eat up yak. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is true. One last question on Tate. I also want to talk about your crush, Elik Iemanar, and we got a hit on Cam Ward passing his first big training camp test. But, you know, Jim Wyatt's been tracking the reception numbers for all these guys. And one of the thoughts early on, I think, when Tate was drafted was that Brian Daboll's going to feature this guy and feed this guy the way that he did Stephon Diggs when Diggs got to Buffalo, the way that he did with Malik Nabers when they took him, what, sixth overall a couple of years ago. Then you look at Jim Wyatt's catch numbers, which I don't think we can read too much into, which is why I want to bring it up with you. But Wandale Robinson leads the team, 26 catches through training camp. Elik Iemanar is next with 21. I think that has to do with him probably playing both teams and being easily the best receiver bring that up. With the twos.
100%. Come back Carnell to that. Is not doing anything outside of first team, right? So those guys that right. have flex are out there more.
Tajay's actually third with 19, and Carnell Tate is next with only 16 catches. He had, what, four catches in the Nissan scrimmage. Mm-hmm. But is this, like, if you're a fantasy head and you're looking for, you know, your fifth round wide receiver one potential guy, are you scared that Carnell Tate's not going to get that kind of volume? Do you think Daboll is going to feature him the way that he did Stephon Diggs and Malik Nabers? Is there some kind of in-between ground where the Titans arguably have more weapons at their disposal? Brian Daboll didn't have as many options when he was in Buffalo or when he was in New York, even with like a Wandale and Malik or a Wandale and Carnell. Like there's obviously the one-to-one comparison there, but I don't know. I've been going back and forth with this in my mind and I'm curious what you think.
Yeah, the middle class of weapons on this team far surpasses the Bills and the Giants situations, in my opinion. And that's what's ultimately going to lead to this being more of a well-rounded distribution, a healthier distribution, frankly. He has this history, Daboll does, of feeding his top one or two receivers. And I do think that Wandale and Carnell are going to be featured that way. I'm not scared by that situation at all from a fantasy perspective. He's not going to be the PPR goblin of this team. Wandale's going to do that because it's what he's done his entire NFL career. Wandale is going to catch a trillion passes this year. Carnell will probably be next. But that 1-2 punch, they do work better together. They do complement each other. And Wandale is going to be that safety blanket underneath, kind of a quasi run solution kind of receiving target that this team is going to lean on a lot. So I think when it all comes out in the wash on Sundays and you don't have second and third team guys to run with, and to your point, Elik being that high, I mean, it's a little bit of both. Like, it is a reflection of the fact that he is rotating higher than maybe a lot of fans think. He's going to be a bigger part of the offense, in my opinion, like the game day Sunday offense, in my opinion, than a lot of fans think. I think he's going to have a bigger role on this team than a lot of people realize. But at the same time, right now, that role is even more outsized by the fact that he is their do-it-all gadget guy to flip back and forth between first and second team. And he and Chim will run out there on first team to give the top guys a breather to keep their reps down. They are not being, I don't want to say not being careful. They're not reserving those guys the same way that they're reserving the top guys right now.
That makes sense. And that explains, I think, some of the catch distribution here is not going to necessarily reflect how they plan to use these players in the offense on a game day.
If Jim broke those things up by catches from Cam, it would look entirely different. Like, imagine in your head what those numbers look like, catches from Cam. Wandale and Carnell's numbers literally don't change. Everybody else's gets cut in half at least.
Right, and that's a big deal. So, all right. Easton, I want to talk more about Iemanar's emergence. I really want to talk about Cam passing his first training camp test, but we got to take a break here, so we'll be right back. You know that 6 p.m. moment where dinner's supposed to happen, but there's nothing in the fridge? That used to be every Tuesday of my life. But now, I keep the freezer stocked with Omaha steaks. Tender steaks, flavorful burgers, even seafood, chicken, sides, not just steak, all delivered right to my door. Arrives frozen and ready to go. Yes, frozen delivery can be that good with Omaha Steaks, because it's steakhouse quality without steakhouse prices. I grilled the ribeye burgers last weekend. They were beefy, juicy, and actually these burgers tasted like a steak, because it is steak, ground from real cuts. If you've never tried Omaha Steaks, start with the Burger Perfection Flight. Comes with 20 premium steak burgers from 5 distinct cuts, including filet mignon, New York strip, ribeye, brisket, and sirloin. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, you can get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF. BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. It's football season, Justin. The best time of year to make sports bets, as far as I'm concerned. And whether you've been betting your whole life or just trying to get into it this season, MyBookie is the best way to place your bets.
My favorite part about MyBookie, you don't need to be an expert. They have NFL lines every week, every game. Find your sweet spot, place your bets, and make betting fun again.
Yeah, Justin, and my favorite part about MyBookie, I can place my bets wherever I am, wherever I want to, before the game kicks off. Like, it doesn't matter where I am. MyBookie.com is available, and so I'll be playing there all season long.
And guess what? If you're new to MyBookie, the Music City Audible has you covered. The Bet Back bonus gives you protection on your first play. Sign up with our promo code MCA, opt into the Bet Back bonus, and take your first shot with a safety net.
Yeah, that's right, Justin. If your first wager loses, you get it right back. No questions asked. Make the most of football season. Make all the action as important as you possibly can. Get in now. Cash in on the season with MyBookie. Bet on anything, anytime, anywhere. But remember, Audible Army, always bet responsibly. Never gamble more than you can afford to lose. MyBookie! This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. You've heard us talk about BetterHelp for the past month or so now, but I don't know that we've ever actually talked about how much people love this service when they use it. You can check it out yourself at betterhelp.com/reviews to see amazing customer reviews in real time. And these reviews are updated every day, with hundreds of people saying how much they love BetterHelp and how helpful it's been to them. Please visit betterhelp.com/reviews to see for yourself. BetterHelp has an average live therapy session rating of 4.9 out of 5 based on over 1.7 million client session reviews. The feedback from people who have actually used the service speaks for itself. BetterHelp therapists have at least 3 years and 1,000 hours of hands-on experience. They also hold all required education, training, and certifications across a range of mental health specialties. BetterHelp makes it easy to get started. Just answer a few questions, get matched with a therapist based on your needs, and switch therapists at any time if it's not the right fit. See the reviews, see what stands out, and see if BetterHelp is right for you. Visit BetterHelp.com. That's better, H-E-L-P.com. Welcome back. Here with Easton Freeze of A to Z Sports talking Titans training camp, as the first phase, I said this on yesterday's show, the first phase of training camp has basically concluded. The time that if they had gone off to a hotel together, they'd probably, we expect, would be out of that phase of it and back in their own homes. Of course, they're as of right now, they're in Santa Clara getting ready for a joint practice with the 49ers that I'll be back on to recap later today live. So make sure you tune into that. Subscribe to the channel, like this video. Easton, you have been on the Elk Iron Manor train as long as anybody that I know in media of any kind, Titans or national or otherwise. And Elk Iron Manor is a guy that I think, I know I was in this boat, Justin Mello was too, we agreed on this, that coming into this year, back in like February time, we were talking about Iron Manor as being like a solid number three receiver who probably would settle in. You know, once they drafted Tate and signed Wandale, skip ahead a couple of months, we're like, Elijah Manning is probably the fifth guy. Chimere Adike showed a little bit more down the stretch last season of being able to like go out there and be a receiver. Is he sort of this Z replacement for Calvin Ridley? And Tate settles in at the X and Wandale obviously in the slot. But since training camp, really since OTAs and in through into training camp, it feels to me like Aya Manor has dwarfed Chim Dike's like growth and development and has truly become a guy that you almost feel like you can't keep him off the field. And if Aya Manor is able to fill that kind of role, he's a guy that can go play X, bump Carnell Tate to Z. You don't ask the rookie to go out there and be your, you know, lone man out, split out wide, tethered to the line of scrimmage against cornerbacks, press covering him as a rookie. Now, he can be the move guy at the Z because you got Aya Manor playing X. And then you have Wandale still in the slot, obviously. Is there a world, do you see Aya Manor really overtaking even Calvin Ridley for the wide receiver three role? Is this a spot that they're just going to rotate those guys a lot and there's really four guys that are going to play a lot? Or is Aya Manor still, despite all the hype he's generated this training camp, is he still that like clear fourth guy and would play more in the event of a Ridley or somebody else getting injured? Like, obviously, you're a little biased because you've loved this guy since he was a Stanford prospect. Yeah. But what do you think about Aya Manor's training camp so far and his role on this team?
Right now, I think it's going to be kind of a four-man rotation kind of vibe. He will be the fourth of four for sure, as long as Ridley is mentally and physically healthy and ready to go. Because he does bring a different element to the offense. That being said, there's nothing. I was talking to Derek Mason about this for a little bit the other day. There's nothing holding Elik back tangibly from being a great NFL receiver. There's nothing in terms of height or weight or athleticism or intensity or mindset. You cannot point to anything on paper to say that's why he's there. There's his ceiling right there. That's the limiting factor with him. There isn't one. He is bigger and faster and stronger than most of these guys. And in that wide receiver room, he has a different build. He looks different. And, I mean, Derek Mason in that conversation said that he thinks just, like, purely on paper, as an athlete, he's the most physically gifted receiver on the team. And I don't think that's a crazy argument at all. A lot of people would point to Calvin Ridley because of his really unique movement ability. And that's just kind of, I think, a difference in kind. With Elik, it all comes down to consistency. It comes down to sure-handedness, and it comes down to maturing as a route runner. And those are all things that are intangible, and they take time to develop, and you just have to wait and see in real game situations how that starts to develop. But so far, all of those glimpses we've gotten from him in training camp, all of those things that we've gotten to peek at a little bit, are green flags, they're thumbs up, they're A-pluses. I think he's got the right stuff to be a really useful player. And I think they are going to have a hard time keeping him off the field. I think that's exactly the right way to put it in terms of a feel. I think this coaching staff likes him a lot. And I don't know what it's going to look like on Sundays. I think it'll probably be largely matchup dependent, because if they are going up against a team that has bigger and stronger DBs, I think you'll see a little bit more of Elik Aya Manor than the alternative. And with Ridley, he is just such a gravy guy. If he is healthy and good to go, as much as I'm a big Elik Aya Manor fan, I want a healthy 100% go Ridley on the field over Elik Aya Manor. But we've come to learn that that is just such a question mark, such a wild card you can't bet on. And that's why I think Elik's going to be a big part of the team this year.
Yep, I am totally with you. I think like a lot of people compared him to a Nick Westbrook-Akina type of guy who's like, oh, he's a good wide receiver four, he can play all the spots, and I think that's possible, but I think his ceiling is higher.
He's just a supercharged version of him. He is bigger and faster and stronger than Nick ever was. Now, Nick became a much more talented route runner. He became a more savvy pro. Like, that's the step that Elik has to take. But if he does, he's going to be a much better version of NWI.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, if he can take a step when it comes to being just more consistent with securing the ball when he has an opportunity to make the catch, whether it's contested or not, where he was a little inconsistent last year. And I don't think it's been an issue this training camp. Like, it seems like he is taking that step. I think that he can be a real contributing player and somebody that sort of just by the end of the season, more so than the beginning, pushes Calvin Ridley out to pasture a little bit as they prepare for a life without him going forward.
It's crazy. Yeah, I mean, listen, you're not wrong. It's just crazy.
Yeah. And, you know, shout out to Ridley for putting up with a couple of really bad Titans teams while I was here. He finally gets a chance to play for what we hope is a little bit better team with a little bit better coaching, but it might be his last hurrah here in Tennessee, given the contract restructure they did. Last thing I wanted to hit with you, Easton, is focused on the Titans QB1, Cam Ward, who came into this offseason with a few little things to work on. Consistency, obviously, from down to down, ball placement, accuracy, whatever issues he may or may not have had. I think that's sort of more in the eye of the viewer than maybe a reality that he struggles with accuracy. Like, I saw a video of him throwing to the nets from Sunday where he went net, 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 bang, 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 no problem at all. I know he's not doing that every single time, and there were some inconsistencies.
No, he's never he's never missed a net. I can confirm, not once.
Deep down the field, outside the numbers was an area he definitely needed to improve on, getting his footwork tied to his eyes better and staying consistent in those areas. But really, it's just like, we know he can make the awesome play. Can he make the routine play every time? I think that was an area we needed to see growth in. And then just sort of showing a command and a mastery of a new offense, his second offense in as many years in the league with Brian Daboll and Shea Tierney running the show now. And I feel like he needed to pass that test in training camp, which was to show that he can continue to pick up the system a little bit better every day and show a gradual improvement, even if it's not exactly linear from a day-to-day standpoint. Although, looking back, it kind of feels like it has been mostly pretty linear from a day-to-day where, you know, that first Wednesday with no pads on, the Titans offense had a good day. I believe it was a Thursday, the next day that the defense won the day. And then there was an early practice the next week where he threw the two interceptions on sort of the same looking kind of crossbody dumb play. But since then, it feels like he's kind of been just getting better and better every single day. And I think he has shown pretty much everything we've needed to see to feel like, okay, the Titans can take a legitimate step this year. Their rookie quarterback last year, who's now a second-year guy, is ready to establish himself as a franchise QB in this league based on what we've seen through the first phase of training camp, which I would call his first test. And I think he passed that test with mostly flying colors. You wrote an article the other day, and you talked about it on some A to Z shows about how you think Cam Ward has passed a different kind of test for you. You want to share that take with our audience here?
Yeah, I've been talking about this since my Hot Read podcast days. I like to apply the grandma test for football this time of year from just kind of like a KISS, keep it simple, stupid approach. If I brought my like no ball knowledge grandmother, God bless her, out to training camp and asked her which of the guys in the red no contact jerseys was probably the starter, could she tell after one practice? Like, is it that obvious? And I've been applying that since Ryan Tannehill was here at the tail end of his career. And then, of course, Will Levis and Mason Rudolph and Cam Ward, all these guys that have come through. Since Tannehill was here, I haven't been able to confidently say that a starting quarterback kind of passes that grandma test for me. But I feel confident about it with Cam so far. Now, that may change by the end of camp. Like, this is not a full camp verdict, but these first 2 weeks, he has looked different. He has looked the part. And there certainly have been some, you know, one step forward, one big step back, two steps forward, one step back. It's not been linear, the growth, and the growth never is linear in the NFL, but it is trending ultimately in the right direction. And I think that that's something that Titans fans should be excited about. Like, none of it matters until we see it in games on Sunday and translating in the biggest moments. And a lot of those big moments we haven't seen Cam Ward in because they weren't very competitive last year. Like, that's another step right. They have to take. If they manage to be competitive this year, okay, well, what then happens in the competitive moments? How does he shrink or rise to the occasion? So all of those things are still pending. But right now, he looks the part in a way that a starting NFL starting Titans quarterback hasn't looked at this stage the past couple of years.
And I think the next big test for him is coming up this week. And I guess over the next 3 weeks, really, this preseason slate, where we're not exactly sure yet how much the Titans starters are going to play, but Robert Saleh has said that they will play. And so I'm excited to see him get out there on the field and take on a defense that he hasn't gone up against every single day so far for over two weeks. And can he keep doing it? Can he keep stacking these good days? Can he keep passing this test of continuing to get better and more comfortable in Brian Daboll's offense? We've heard reports that he's been audibling plays at the line of scrimmage in a training camp practice in an offense that's still in an installation phase, which I do think like the installation phase is coming to a close now.
Correct. We're going
to practice against another team, so they've got to be fully installed now. But let's see what it looks like against the Niners later this afternoon and especially on Thursday night. Easton, any final thoughts on the Titans training camp so far as I let you go? Or you want to just plug some of your stuff, some articles you've written, some shows you're going to be hosting, anything like that? This is your chance. Take it.
I have no more final thoughts, but we have so much more Titans to talk about. So check me out after every MCA listen. You can then go to the A to Z Sports YouTube page and to the A to Z Sports podcast feed and to at Easton Freeze on Twitter and all of the places where you can find my writings and my talkings and my musings. I appreciate you guys tuning in.
All right. Thanks, Easton. Really appreciate your time. All right. Thanks again to Easton. Like I said, I will be back later this afternoon for a live recap of the Titans joint practice with the San Francisco 49ers. So make sure you stay tuned for that. If you are not already, hit subscribe to this channel, like this video, and drop a comment below. We'll see y'all later this afternoon. Until then, y'all stay safe out there and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.